I want you to turn to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter 2 in our scripture this morning. And we are going to look at several passages of scripture this morning that deal with the thought in our month of February. We've been talking about the family and how important it is for us to establish families that are centered around Christ and around His Word. And so we have taken the month of February as a whole, and we have studied the family, and we will finish this study. At least I feel like the Lord will have us finish it this evening, in our service this evening. So we're going to preach a message this morning and then a message this evening. And again, we've just been dealing with the family. We talked about three different types of families that God would desire for us to have. First of all, we said that He wants us to have three types of homes, I should say, that God wants us to have. He wants us to have a heavenly home reserved with Him. And the Bible tells us how that we can know that. We are all sinners. We've all had times in our life where we've sinned and we've failed the Lord, whether it be in word or in thought or in deed. We have an opportunity on Wednesdays every week in our church to teach good news clubs inside the public schools. And one of the things that we do, of course, in that good news club is share with them the good news of the gospel. And we talk to them about how they are sinners. And we give a definition for sin that the young people have come to know very well, because just about every Wednesday we will quote this definition. We say that sin is anything we do, say, or think that displeases God. Every one of us are in that category, aren't we? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And there's none that doeth good, the Bible says. And so we're all sinners. And so in order to know that we have a heavenly home, we've got to get to a place where we acknowledge our sin. God already knows it to be true about us. We just have to acknowledge it before Him, don't we? And so we acknowledge our sin. We realize there's a punishment for our sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What is the earned result or the wage of our sin? The Bible says it's death. That's what we deserve. Not just a physical death, He's talking about a spiritual death there. So the punishment that we deserve because of our sin is to spend eternity separated from Christ in hell, and then ultimately in the lake of fire, never to have the presence of God around us again, and then to be in the punishment and the torment of hell as well. That's what we deserve because of our sin. But the Bible tells us that God loved us so much. If we're going to know that we have a heavenly home, we've got to acknowledge our sin. We've got to get to a point where we realize there's a punishment for our sin, but we've got to get to a place where we realize that God loved us so much that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to leave the glories of heaven. And He died on the cross, He was buried, and He rose again. We're about ready to celebrate Resurrection Sunday. We're about ready to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He rose from the grave, and what He did for us paid the price for our sin. That's why He can now offer it to us as a free gift. Even though a gift may be offered to somebody, somebody had to pay a price for it. You reach out and you take it. It's free for you, but somebody had to pay the price. Jesus paid the price for us so that we could have the hope of everlasting life and the hope of eternity. And then He says to us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you a whosoever? That's everyone, isn't it? Anyone can trust Christ as Savior. It's just a matter of calling out to the Lord, telling Him that you're sorry for your sin, telling Him that you realize there's a punishment for your sin. You cannot save yourself, but you believe that He died for you and He was buried and He rose again, and just asking Him to be your Savior. And the Bible tells you, you can have the reservation of a heavenly home. That when you leave this earth and your eyes close in death, the very next moment your eyes open, you'll open your eyes in heaven. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, for those that are sitting here today that have trusted Christ as your Savior, and you can go back to a time and a place in your life where you called on the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you have the promise and you have the hope of a heavenly home. That's one kind of a home that God wants every one of us to have and to have the assurance of. But then He also wants all of us to have a church home. And that's where we're gathered today, a church home where God's people can come together, the families can come together, and those families, those individual families that come together, they form the church home, and we have the wonderful privilege of gathering in a church home. But then He also wants us to have a Christian home. He wants us to have a Christian family. And we've been talking about the home. When we talk about the home or we talk about the family, we're not talking about necessarily just the walls of the home that we live in, although that's certainly part of it. But we're talking about the family, the man and the woman and the children that God has perhaps blessed families with. And then some of you that would say, well, right now I'm at a home with just husband or wife, and the children have grown older now, and they're adults still in those homes. God wants to pour his blessings upon those homes. Maybe perhaps some that are sitting here today and say, I'm a grandparent now. Maybe a great grandparent, and to be the influence that God wants you to be as a grandparent as well. And then some that would say, I've lost my husband or wife, and I'm living at my home right now alone. God still wants that Christian family to be dedicated to him and to be consecrated to him, and he wants those homes to be that way as well. Maybe young people that are sitting in here, and you say, I'm a young person growing up right now in a home with parents in the home, that you would concentrate upon being what God wants you to be inside of that home. And then for individuals that would say, I'm here as a single person, not married, but inside my home right now, to bring honor and glory to God in your home as well. He wants all of us to have a Christian home, a Christian family. And again, that starts with becoming a Christian. That starts with coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then from there, it's not just saying I have a Christian home because Christians live inside the home. It's not just saying, well, I've come to a place where I've trusted Christ as my Savior, so I'm a Christian. So does that automatically mean I have the right kind of Christian home? It's not about just saying that our homes are Christian homes because we're Christians and we're living in there. It's because Christ lives there as well. He's not just visiting. He's not just an occasional guest, but he is occupying our homes at all times. And so that's what makes a Christian home. So we've preached several messages in the month of February. We preached about Christ in the home, how that we must make sure that Christ is the importance of our homes. He is the foundation upon which our homes are built. He is the theme of our home. He is the one who brings blessings to our home. And then we talked in the month of February about enemies that are in the family or enemies that are in the home. We labeled those in two different categories. We said that we have an enemy that is from without, or an enemy without the home, and that is the devil, who is our adversary, the Bible says. As a roaring lion, he's walking about, and he's seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy us today, and so he is the enemy from without. Let's not let the devil destroy our homes. Let's let God have the victory. And then there's enemies from within as well, and those are enemies that we create on our own, when we choose in our homes and in our families to disobey the commandments that God has for us. So victory over the enemies in our homes. And then we talked last Sunday morning about the church and the family, how important the church and the family together, working together as families to build the church, and as the church to build families, to as a church understand the importance of the home, and at the home to understand the importance of the church. It goes both ways, doesn't it? And the church being the extension of the home, and how important it is for us to be trained at home and for us to know what to do at home, but yet to have a church family where it's an extension of our home, and to be able to put those two things together and allow those two things that God has instituted, the church and the home, to cooperate one with another. And then last Sunday night, we started into the roles that are found within a family, and we addressed the men, the role that a man has within his home and his family, whether that be labeling that as just the man in the home, or maybe it's the husband, or maybe for some it's a father in a home. Maybe there's some men that would say, I've got several titles within my home, dad, husband, and just the man of the home that God has put you in. And so we dealt with those roles that God has given to us, that we clearly see in his word. And this morning, in the time that the Lord gives us, we want to deal with the roles and the responsibilities of a lady within a Christian home. I want to give you a couple statements that I opened up our message last Sunday night with, when we were talking about the roles of a man within a home. And by the way, the men who attended the men's conference yesterday, we were really encouraged by men, as men, to be the men of our homes and to be the leaders that God wants us to be. So I thought it was such a challenge for us men yesterday who went to the men's conference to have messages that supported the messages that we've already heard here as we've been preaching about the home, just to be the leader that God wants us to be. But here's some statements that I made last Sunday night that I wanted to use to get into the message this morning as well. We talked about how that relationships determine roles. So whatever our relationship is within the home, that determines what our roles are. But then there's a statement that goes right after that one that is so important for us to remember. Then when we know what our roles are, then our role creates responsibility. So after we've established what our relationship is in the home, whether it be dad, whether it be mom, whether it be wife, whether it be husband, whether it be children, for some of our teenagers that are sitting in here, the children that they are in their homes right now. Once we've figured out what our relationship is in the home, then it determines what our roles are. And by the way, God has lots to say about the roles within a home. And then the roles would then create the responsibility that we have. Once we figure out and determine what our role is, then we know what responsibilities go with that role that God has given to us. And can I say this? God and His Word assign both of those to us. Meaning, God's Word assigns to us what our role is in the home. And then it also assigns to us what the responsibilities are that go with that role. So can I say this? Let's not modify what God has assigned and what He has designed. Let's not modify it. If God has assigned us a role, let's not modify it. Let's not stray from it. If He's designed the roles and the responsibilities in a home in a certain way, let's not modify that. Let's not change it. Let's not stray from it. And then we ask a question last Sunday night, and I wanted to say this again this morning because I think it helps us as we get into the message. We asked the question last Sunday night when we started talking about roles within a Christian family. Are men and women equal? We answered that question with a yes, and we also answered it with a no. And these are clearly found in the Word of God. We said, yes, men and women are equal in the fact that they are both made in the image of God. Aren't you thankful for that? The Bible says that we're made in the image of God. He's given us a soul. He's given us the ability to make a choice. We have the responsibility of that. So we're both made in the image of God. And then we also are equal in the thought that we very clearly see in the Word of God of importance. It's not as if God looks down at men and says men are more important, or He looks at a lady and says ladies are more important. In the Word of God, we see the importance being equal, don't we? And then we see another way in which men and women are very equal in the spiritual opportunities that God gives them. God gives spiritual opportunities to men. God gives spiritual opportunities to women. God gives spiritual opportunities to children as well within our homes. And we can take advantage of those opportunities that He gives us. So those are the ways that we are equal. But then that answer would also be a no as well. According to the Bible, we are not equal when it comes to our position. And we're not equal when it comes to our function within that position as well. Meaning this, that God has balanced the roles within a home. And by the way, because He created men the way He created them and He created women the way He created them, He knew what He was doing, didn't He? So He balanced the roles within the home. And balanced roles within a Christian family are very critical. It's very critical to make sure we take the role and responsibility that God has given to us. And we fulfill it to the best of our ability. We obey the Lord. So it's not a question of who's superior and who's inferior. Or who's inferior and who's superior. It's a question of, am I willing to obey God? Whatever He says in His Word, when it comes to the roles and the responsibilities and the relationships within a Christian home and a Christian family, am I willing to obey Him? So we said this about the role of a man. We said a man is to be a family leader. We're not going to go into details about this because we preached this last Sunday night. But we said the man was to be the family leader. The Bible very clearly tells us that men are to demonstrate love. They're to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. They're to be a family provider. They're to be the family priest, which means they are to oversee the spiritual condition of their homes. Men, that is a responsibility we have. We're to oversee the spiritual condition of our homes. We're also to be family protectors. Then, if you're in a home as a father, you're to be a teacher in that home to train up your children in the way that they should go, the Bible says. Can I say this? There is an attack on manhood today. There is a great attack on manhood. But we're talking about the roles and the relationships of men. And we don't want to leave out the ladies because there's an attack on women today as well. There's an attack on biblical womanhood. And how the world would view a woman contrary to how the Bible views it. There is a, and by the way, when it comes to a Christian woman, there ought to be a distinct difference in the way that a Christian woman takes the responsibilities that God has given to her. Can I say this, ladies? There is a great need in the world today, and in our families today, and in our churches today, there is a great need for godly women. There is a great need for godly women. I want you to notice a couple words this morning that help us to understand the role of a lady. Would you look at Genesis chapter 2? We told you we would turn there. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18, the Bible uses a word to describe the role of a woman, especially within the marriage relationship. He says that women are to be a helpmeet. That's word number one. We have four words we'd like to give you this morning as far as the roles of a woman are concerned. Again, a great need for godly women. So I hope this will encourage the ladies here. As men, as we listen to a message like this, may we concentrate on what God's word says about a lady. May we concentrate on what God's word says about a woman so that we may pray for them the way we should. Look at what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18. It says this, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." Look down, if you would, at verse number 20. "And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him." What's the first role or responsibility that God's word very clearly lays out for a lady to be a helpmeet as far as the relationship is concerned with her husband? Now, what does that word helpmeet mean? It has the idea of one who helps. A pretty simple definition. One who helps. A companion. But there's another word that many people would say, I'm more familiar with this word when I think of a helpmeet as far as what the Bible is talking about. The Bible is telling us that a lady ought to be a completer. A completer. What is a helpmeet? A helpmeet is a completer. You know, the Bible tells us that when we get married, we leave mother and father and we cleave unto our wife and we become one flesh. That means the woman completes the man. And men, I think we would acknowledge the fact that we need a completer. We need somebody to come along and complete us. And that's what the Bible says. That's the helpmeet. The one who comes along beside to help. The companion. The completer that God has. Ladies, that's a great responsibility that God has for you within the marriage relationship. But then there's a second word I want you to notice. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. Ephesians chapter 5, and look down once you found your place there in Ephesians 5. I told you we'd be turning to several passages of Scripture. The messages that we're preaching, of course, about the family require us to turn to several places of Scripture so that we can see several thoughts about these points. So would you notice Ephesians chapter 5? And you'll notice we've been in Ephesians chapter 5 quite a bit over the course of this month because it's a passage of Scripture that talks about the home and the roles within a home. Here's word number two, the second word. We saw the word helpmeet. The second word is this, submission. Submission. The Bible gives the role or the responsibility of a lady as that of submission. Now, can I say this? There are situations within this room here this morning, and I certainly understand that. There are situations within this room this morning where you would say, well, I don't know. There's not an ability for me to submit to a husband because there's no husband involved. There's no husband in the relationship as far as your family is concerned. But God still desires that every one of us live lives of submission. So I think we're going to get to see that actually as we go throughout this passage of Scripture. It's a certain role and a responsibility for a wife, but really submission can speak to all of us, can it? Submission can speak to wives this morning, but it can also speak to men. It can also speak to single ladies. Submission is something that's important for all of us. Notice what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So that's using it almost in a broad sense. We're to submit to one another. So submission really speaks to all of us. But then notice in a specific way what it says in verse number 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, it says. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Would you look down at verse 33? We're going to skip quite a few verses and look down at verse number 33, if you would. It says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. Remember, that's the role of the man, to love his wife. And then look at verse 33 at the end. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. See that she reverence her husband. The idea of submission, the idea of respect for the husband that God has blessed you with, for the husband that God has given you. Now you say, well, is this something you're just talking about because it's an opinion of yours? No, we just clearly read it in the scripture, didn't we? It's something that God says. It's something that we can very easily preach because it's written right there in the scriptures, which means this, it's God's design. God has a chain of command within a home. Matter of fact, he has a chain of command with things that he has instituted within the church as well. He has a chain of command. And the household runs best when we follow God's chain of command. Would you agree with that? The household runs best when we follow God's chain of command. So how would the house run best then? The house would run best when the husband is the leader that he should be. Now, as a wife, certainly, we mentioned this last Sunday night when we were talking about husbands. Wives, certainly, to give their thoughts and to give their insight and their cautions at times. Brother Dennis and I were even talking about this yesterday at the men's conference. We were sitting down for lunch, and we were talking about how important it is to make sure that we do listen to our wives because they have ways of understanding things at times that men sometimes we just don't see. We just about to be honest, don't we? We just don't see it. So we take their insight and we take their thoughts and we take their cautions from time to time. So what would be a way for us to understand this word submission that's found in Ephesians chapter number 5? I want to give you a couple definitions that I hope will help you as far as considering what submission would be. Submission is when we get to a place where we have a proper perspective of the position that God has us in and being happy about it. So God, you told me to submit. That's the proper that's the position that you have me in. And the proper perspective for me to have with this is that I need to obey what you ask me to do, and I need to be happy about it. We could use this as a definition for submission to help us to understand what the Bible's teaching us there in Ephesians chapter number 5. As a lady, or even as a man, as we're thinking about this idea of submission, to have complete confidence that his will for me is the very best thing that could happen to me. So if God's will is for me as a husband to love my wife, that's the very best thing I could do. If God's will for me as a lady is to submit to the husband that God has put in charge of me, or given the leadership within the home, that's the very best thing that could ever happen. So we use those definitions to be able to make a statement to you about submission. Submission is an attitude before it is an act. Would you consider that with me this morning? Submission is an attitude before it is an act. You're not going to act in submission until your attitude is right about submission. By the way, that could apply to the workplace. That could apply to, the role of the husband, the role of us in our church as well. With everything, when it comes to submission, it's an attitude before it is an act. We're not going to act the way we should with submission until we have the right attitude about it. So God, give me a proper perspective of this. Lord, this is the position you've put me in. It's your will for my life, and I want to be happy about it. I want to realize that it's the best possible thing that could ever happen to me. So I'm going to give you some reasons why women and ladies and wives should follow what God has told them to do and be willing to live in submission. There's some reasons for this. Number one, because it's a command of God. So why should a lady be willing to take that word submission and say, I want to live that way? Because number one, it's a command of God. Number two, because it your success as a Christian wife depends upon it. Would you consider that with me this morning? Your success as a Christian wife, to be the godly lady that God wants you to be, your success in godliness and to be the Christian wife that God wants you to be depends upon the fact that you will obey the command that God has given to you. But then here's another thought that I want you to consider this morning. Your husband needs it in order for him to lead. In order for him to lead the way he needs to lead, he needs his wife to be living in submission. submission as a wife would show your husband that you can trust the decisions that he is making as he is being guided by God. You're saying to your husband, as I submit to him, I may not understand it all. You know, I may not understand everything, just like we may not understand everything God asks us to submit to. But we say, I may not understand it all, but I'm just trusting that you're being guided by God. And I'm living in trust that you're doing what God would have for you to do as you lead our family and as you lead our marriage. Your husband needs that as he's leading. But then can I say this for families that are represented here today that have children? Your children need it as an example. Your children need it as an example. In your home, your children need to see, ladies, that you're willing to follow the commands that God has given you. He's told you that you're to sweetly submit to your husband. He's supposed to lovingly lead, and you're to sweetly submit. And you say, I'm going to take that role that God has given me and as an example for my children. And in order to allow my husband to lead the way he should, to be successful as a Christian wife and a godly lady, and to follow the commands of God, I'm going to follow and do what he's asked me to do. Would you look really quickly at 1 Corinthians chapter number 11? I need to be timely here as we finish. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look down with me, if you would, at verse number 2. I know this is another passage of Scripture that we've read this month quite a bit because, again, it deals with the roles in a home. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 2, it says, verse number 3. I was reading the wrong verse. Verse number 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ and the head of the woman is the man. There again, the role that God has given, that man's to be the leader of the home. Again, it's not something we're making up. We're very clearly seeing it in God's Word. Would you look at Colossians 3? Brother Terry read this for us this morning in Colossians chapter number 3. And notice what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 18. It says this, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. By the way, ladies, well, aren't you encouraged that it's your husband you have to submit to? Submit to your own husband, all right? It's not that you have to submit to every other husband. It's just yours, but it's fit in the Lord. Isn't that great to see? Man, what a great challenge for us. It's what God would have us to do. It's a command that he has given to us. But then would you look at 1 Peter? 1 Peter chapter 3, and to be timely, once I'm getting there, I'm reading them, and I hope you'll be able to find these, but 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 5, it says, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also. By the way, what's the word that comes before women there? Holy. Ladies, do you want to be a holy lady? You want to be a godly lady? Notice what he says we ought to do, verse 5, who trusted in God. These are the ladies who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. These are ladies that are considered holy ladies. These are ladies that are considered trusting, putting their trust in God, and they were willing to be in subjection to their husband. And then notice he gives an example. He gives the example of Sarah, doesn't he? Look at verse number 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters are ye, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. He says, this is the example that I've given to you of a Sarah who was willing to sweetly submit to the authority of her husband. Who was her husband? Remember Abraham, or excuse me, Sarah's husband was Abraham? Do you remember what happened in Genesis chapter 12? What happened in Genesis chapter 12? Remember God says to Abraham, I want you to get up from where you're at. I want you to leave your kindred. I want you to leave your land. And I want you to leave your father's house. And I want you to go into a land I'm going to show you. Now that, to a lady, would certainly, whoa, you're uprooting us, and you're taking us to a place that you don't even know where you're going. Ladies want the security. They want the stability of knowing what's going to happen. But yet she sweetly submitted, didn't she? As God was leading Abraham, she trusted. She trusted. God is guiding you. God is leading you. I'm going to sweetly submit. I'm going to do what you ask me to do. What a pattern. What an example for us that is led by the life of Sarah just to be willing to trust God. Remember what we said, what 1 Peter chapter 3 there said? Holy ladies that are trusting in God. Let's go back to the definition we said about surrender or submission. Remember we said to have complete confidence that God's will for me is the very best for my life. What does that sound like? That sounds like trusting God, doesn't it? God, you've got a will for me, and I'm going to deem that the best possible thing that could ever happen in my life. God, I'm trusting you. And so a lady is to submit. Can I say this? The Bible says that Jesus gives a wonderful pattern of submission for us, doesn't he? The Bible tells us, we're in 1 Peter chapter 3. If you would look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1, we didn't read that verse, but if you'd look at verse number 1, it says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands." Now, wait a minute. It puts that word likewise in there, which means, what is it referring to? If it says likewise, or just like this, ladies, you're to submit yourself to your own husbands. Who's it talking about? Well, if you'd go to the chapter before that, in 1 Peter chapter 2, it's talking about Jesus' submission. What does the Bible say? How does the Bible say he submitted in Philippians chapter 2? He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus gave to us the greatest pattern or the greatest illustration that we would ever have of submission, didn't he? When he submitted to the will of his Father and went to the cross for you and for me. Can I say this, ladies? When God's word talks about submission, it doesn't mean that a wife has any less value than her husband. It does not mean that at all. It does not mean that they are less important. But it does mean that just like Jesus Christ, they're to humbly submit to their husband's leadership. Again, not that he has more value. So it's not that submission is about value, but submission is about unity and function within the home. God has a chain of command. And just like Jesus gave us the pattern of submission, it's the pattern of Christ that we are to follow. Then would you notice with me word number three, and we'll get to these last two real quickly and we'll finish. Word number one, we said a lady is to be a helpmeet. Word number two, we use the word submission. Word number three, ministry. I want you to, ladies, to consider your ministry. Your ministry. Now, I think this is where we get into the area of the role of a woman, where we're talking about women as a whole now. It may not be that right now in your home you're raising children. It may not be in your home right now that you have a husband in your home. But the role that God has given to you is a great one because he has given to you a ministry. You say, well, what kind of ministry would God really give the lady? Well, number one, she has a ministry to the Lord, doesn't she? She has a ministry to the Lord. She is to serve the Lord with all of her heart. Whatever it is that God would call ladies to do. You know, when we're back there in Sunday school, well, I'm not back there. I'm in here teaching Sunday school. But when children are back there being taught in their Sunday school classes, the majority of our Sunday school classes back there are being taught by sweet ladies that have just made a decision, I'm going to be a servant of the Lord. This is a ministry that God has given me. And I can take this role and I can serve the Lord to the best of my ability. So you have a ministry to the Lord. Wives, you have a ministry to your husband. Mothers, you have a ministry to your children. You know, the Bible tells us, and I don't want to skip over this without reading it. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 5, would you listen to this, mothers? Mothers, would you listen to this? 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 14, the Bible says this. It says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, and then notice this, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Ladies are to have a good testimony. Ladies, as they bear children, are to raise those children for the honor and the glory of the Lord. Remember last week when we said one of the roles of a father is that they're to be a teacher to their children? Mothers, the same thing. You have a role of being a teacher to your children. You're to raise your children. You're to raise your children so they come to know Jesus as their Savior. That's first and foremost. So that they come to know Jesus as their Savior. And then you're to raise your children so that they can live a godly life. You're to assist and to help your husband and the leader that God has put in your home with the discipline of your children as well. And what does the Bible say? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Can I say this? Children need the tender care and the tender love of a mother. Oh, they need, mothers, they need you. They need you to take the role that God has given you. And then, ladies, I want you to look at Titus chapter 2. Oh, this is so important as we're trying to wrap this up. Titus chapter 2, and notice what the Bible says in verse number 3. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 3. Notice this, it says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Notice what they're to do in verse 4. This is Titus chapter 2. Look at verse 4. Because this is a ministry ladies have. Ready? Here we go. We talked about you have a ministry to your Lord. You have a ministry to your husband. You have a ministry to your children. And for, by the way, for those that are grandmothers, you have a ministry to your grandchildren as well. But then you also have a ministry to other women. You have a ministry to other women. You say, well, is that a task God has given to me? Well, he certainly makes it very clear in this verse here, doesn't he? Look at what the Bible tells us we're supposed to do. Verse 4, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Look at verse 5, to be discreet, to be chaste. That word chaste, we understand, has the idea of being pure. Oh, that God would give us pure and godly and holy ladies so that they can teach other women. Look at what it says next after that word chaste. It says, keepers at home. God doesn't put these verses in here by mistake, does he? Oh, how younger women perhaps at times need an older woman, to come along beside them at times and say, hey, these are some things I can give you, some thoughts, some wisdom, some guidance when it comes to your home. Not to try to be bossy or to dictate what somebody ought to do in their home, but just say, hey, these are some things that I've learned. This is some wisdom that I have. And I want to try to be a help to you. I want to try to be a teacher to you. Look at what it says. He says, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. What are ladies to do? They're to have a role to teach other women. And can I say this, ladies? There is always someone in your life that you can teach no matter what your age is. Those that are sitting in here today, you would say, well, this is only really referring to the older ladies, speaking to the younger ladies. There is always someone you can teach no matter what your age is. If we're talking about an 18-year-old lady, an 18-year-old teenage girl, she might perhaps have a 12-year-old watching her. Then you got a 30-year-old who's got a 20-year-old that needs some help and watching to see the example and to perhaps gain some wisdom and some guidance and direction. And as ladies get older, to look down at ladies that are younger and say, you know, I can give them the wisdom. I can take part in the ministry that God would have me to take part in. Oh, what a blessing, what a privilege that we have to be what God desires for us to be. There's one last word, and I wish I could go into more detail, but I don't want us to go too long this morning. Thank you so much for your patience as we finished. I do want to give you one last word, and I won't give you any verses. Won't be able to have time to read verses, although there were a whole bunch of verses that I wanted to read that would give us this thought. But ladies, would you consider this morning? There's one more word that's so important for you to remember with your role and responsibility that God has given you. Number one, we talked about a helpmeet. We talked about submission. We talked about the ministry that God has given to you. But lastly, an example. An example. Now that would certainly go hand in hand with our ministry, because God wants us to be an example in the ministry that he's given to us. But ladies, let's be an example. One of the ways that the scripture teaches ladies that they're to be an example is that they're to be an example in the way that they dress. Even the way that they dress. You know, the Bible talks to us about being clothed. The Bible talks about women in a specific way in 1 Timothy about being clothed in modest apparel. To be an example outwardly, because it expresses what's going on inwardly. To be an example in the way that we dress. And then the Bible also talks to us about being an example. We just read it there in 1 Peter chapter 3, that she's to be an example to make sure that there are sinful things that are not part of her life. I'm to be an example to make sure that these things are not part of my life. I'm going to live a godly and a holy and a consecrated life. I'm staying away from things that displease the Lord so that I can be the example that God wants me to be. And then to be an example, the Bible very clearly lays this out in the book of Proverbs chapter number 31, that ladies are to be virtuous. Who can find, what does Proverbs say? Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. You know, the Bible says this of a wife that's virtuous. I love this verse. It's found in Proverbs chapter 12. It says, a virtuous wife is a crown to her husband. You realize that when you live a virtuous life, ladies, that you're a crown to your husband. You're an example to those that are watching you. Ladies, let's take on the roles and the responsibilities that God has given to us. Let's do them with a sweet attitude. Let's do them with a sweet spirit, just in submission to the Lord. Men, would you be willing to Pray for ladies. Would you be willing to pray for the ladies that God has put in your life as He leads and He guides and He directs them, that they would follow with the roles and the responsibilities that God has given to them? But listen, we're never going to be able to establish a Christian home the way that God wants us to establish a Christian home until first we're Christians. So maybe there's somebody here today that's never submitted or surrendered to the call of God in your life for salvation. And you say, before I can submit like I need to submit with the role that God has given me, I've got to sweetly submit to His call for salvation. Maybe there's somebody today, God's speaking to you. He's knocking on your heart's door. And all He's wanting to do is just wait for you to let Him in. Maybe there's somebody that needs to trust Christ as Savior today. Would you be willing to let us know that in our invitation? And we can have somebody show you gladly from a Bible how you can know Christ as your Savior. Be able to establish the Christian home and the Christian family that God wants you to live in. Ladies, let's be serious about the roles and the responsibilities that God has given to us. Let's be faithful to them. Father, I pray You'd bless this moment of invitation. We brought our message to a close a little quicker than I desired, not being able to read all of the scripture passages that I wanted to read. But Lord, I believe you've drawn our message to a close here. Just trying to follow Your leading. Just trying to follow how You've prompted my heart to finish this message.